What up? It's J-Bone. You're listening to The J-Bone Show, where music lives. What is up? Welcome to the J-Bone Show. Tonight's show, my guest, Landon Robinson, he is going to call into the show. He is going to teach us all about his medicine music, reggae. We're going to talk about reggae music. We're going to talk about his upbringings in music, his early inspirations in music, and how he got to where he's at right now. We're going to talk a little bit about his life story from Michigan to Brazil, that culture shock behind all that, and everything he's done in between. We're also going to talk about his music life right now, how music is to him, what he feels through music. And like I always say on the show, music is a feeling, especially for me. You not only hear it, some people can see it, but you could also feel it. And I believe that. And I think Landon is going to take us down that avenue of what that means to him on tonight's show. So before we get that conversation started, before he calls into the show, I'm going to play a little bit of music from Eternal Conversation. This is the J-Bone Show. This is where music lives. Let's go.
Been to call you my friend, Whoa, whoa. Those who share with me their expertise will live on forever inside of me. Will I be strong enough to share the wealth given to me? Will others understand abundance and prosperity? I got to feel it, yes, I am grateful.
Welcome into the show. My guest right now, Landon Robinson. Welcome to the J-Bone Show, man. Pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much.
It is awesome. Here. Awesome to cross paths with you. Like I said, my friend Katie, shout out to Katie for connecting us. She told me about your music and I had to check it out, man. I must say it's pretty damn cool. Very, very cool to cross paths with you today.
Well, it's a blessing to be here, an honor, and I appreciate you.
Thank you very much, man. So I do know just recently you did the Barefoot and Free Festival, right?
Yeah, I just played that on Sunday.
And I don't want to dig too deep in that, but was that your first festival? I think I seen that on Instagram.
Yeah, that was my first festival, man. It's like things are just really starting to happen over here. So I'm feeling great and grateful.
Pretty damn cool. So let's start at the beginning, man. For you, what was it in your early childhood upbringings that got you into music? What were your inspirations from?
Wow. What a deep question. I mean, I remember being a young man and getting so emotional hearing music, and not even sure I would have described it like that at the time, but just being in my room and listening to No Big Deal Boombox. Nice. And sir, I remember also I had like a tape recorder in that boombox so I could press record and record the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would record, like, for example, one time I recorded a Tool song, Schism.
Oh, nice.
And
nice.
I would play that back and I'd just like feel things in my body, feel things in my mind, down to my soul. And nothing else really did that for me. So it was just, I think that was sowing the seeds.
Yeah. And you know, it's crazy that you say stuff like that, because a lot of people, music is so surfaced, right? And also for a lot of people, music is literally, it's a feeling that you get from live shows, hearing certain sounds. It definitely does something to the brain for certain people, which a lot of times people don't really have that. So it's very topical, and like, music is just music to people. But for you to say that, it's pretty cool, because I feel certain ways about certain music also, like that.
Yes, music's powerful. It's a vehicle. I heard the other day that artwork is how we color physical environment, and music is how we color time.
Oh wow, I like that.
Yes, music is a moment, and it's passing in time. And I think that any musician, any artist that's doing that is taking advantage of that opportunity, and is just beautiful space for communication within that art. And that's the gold.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people appreciate like what music can do and what it does. You know what I mean? Because like we just said, it people can feel music. You know, certain artists say they can see it, and certain people just hear it. You know, so there's definitely levels, and for different people, it does different things. Like I always say, wherever you are in life, music's gonna meet you there, because it always comes back to songs. No matter what you're doing, it could be a road trip, it could be working, it could be eating. Music is always going to meet you where you need to be.
Well, I can certainly hear your passion for it and your speaking, and that's
Thank you very much. It's like I said, it's cool. It's just cool to hear somebody connect on that level with me when it comes to music. I feel very deeply about music, which is mainly why we do this show right here.
Well, it's an honor to be a part of it.
So tell me about, I know you mentioned Tool. So when you were younger, were you into that kind of music, rock and roll music? Was there certain types of music that influenced you?
Yeah, so actually to this day, Tool is my favorite band, which might surprise some listening to my medicine reggae.
Right, right.
But in high school, I mostly listened to metal, rock, and I still listen to Tool. I've been to many Tool shows. It's a really mind-blowing experience for anybody who hasn't been to one. And I made that music for some time. Different bands, different time of life, and I've kind of switched. Mostly, it's just like a creative thing. It's like what do I believe is the vibration that I would like to leave the world with, like with more of. And this is nothing against Tool or anybody, any rock music or anything like that. It's just, I think that vibration is being very well represented. That's how I'll say it. And this other vibration of this medicine reggae, it's like, this is an offering. This is how the way that I feel is like, this is eternal conversation is how God shows up through me. That's what I believe. And this is like this communication, this conversation is an offering that I have to give that isn't well represented and isn't adequately represented. And so here I go, living my life's purpose, doing my job.
I love it, man. I love it. Now, was there something like you said, you did that kind of music back in the day. Was there something that kind of came to you and said, hey, this is what we're going to do in music. Or we're going to switch the tone here. We're going to do something different. Was there a turning point for you, or did it just kind of come naturally?
I've made music my whole life, and it's a flow. I do think that there's certain moments in our lives where we have these epiphanies. But for the most part, you know, making music for me has been a flow. It's different kinds of music at different times. And also any choice that I make musically is a choice not to make other music, which has always been a struggle for me. And I think for many artists, because I have the capacity to make other music. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, rock music is fun to play. It is so fun to play. And a choice to make medicine reggae is a choice to not make rock to a certain extent. I mean, eternal conversation is genre spanning, but at the same time, creating a predictable sound and a brand that I can identify with and pinpoint, and others can do the same, is vital. And it's a choice that means doing what needs to be done to keep it predictable, you know, keep it expectable and grow on that.
Right. Right. Now I'm also reading your profile here. You also make music in Portuguese. How did that come about?
Yeah, I lived in Brazil for 5 years.
Yo, it's J-Bone. You're listening to the J-Bone Show, where music lives.
May I greet the world beyond me, whole, complete, and perfect. Love for me, love for them, love for the process. Ubiquitous love. As I pass in time, let my choice be guided by awareness to the benefit of all beings. Ubiquitous love. Be true.
I lived in Brazil for 5 years, and ooh, what a life-changing experience, man. I mean, it's like what I was just talking about. I think that life happens in these, there's certain moments where we have these epiphanies and certain moments where we have this flow. And that was a flow, 5 years of flow. And at the same time, there's moments during that flow that stand out as like, whoa, this will stay with me forever.
Now, I mean, coming from Michigan, I mean, I would say the majority of the people that live here or have lived here probably haven't been to Brazil. So I would have to imagine that's like almost like a culture shock type of living style. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is definitely a moment that was life changing forever, was that experience of culture shock. You know, man, it's like so humbling to be there and live my lifestyle. I was 21 years old and just king of my own world, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And then over there I go, and it's like this, the distinction between who you think you are and what your culture and conditioning is very hard to do until you are totally displaced from your culture. And so that process of uncovering like who am I versus who I think I am based on my culture and conditioning was a devastating process. It was very difficult. And that is what I think they mean when they say culture shock. And I went through it pretty hard about a year and a half into my time in Rio de Janeiro, and came out of it with a different mindset, for sure. A lot of growth.
So what was it? What was it that made you go to Brazil? What ultimately led you there?
I've always been somebody that I think for myself, and I saw my peers kind of continuing on this path of doing what they thought they were supposed to be doing. That was my impression anyway. And again, I'm not talking about any individual. And there's beauty in every choice. And I just knew it wasn't for me to just get a job
I hear that.
And so, yeah, so I just wanted to move to the coolest place I've been to so far, and that was Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
And it looks beautiful from what I've seen. I mean, geez. And like I said, it's got to be a culture shock. I mean, I couldn't even imagine.
It's incredible. It's mind-blowing. I mean, it's very different. It's very it's a very mystical, magical place. And it was actually there that I had one of these moments, these epiphany moments that led to the name Eternal Conversation.
Oh, wow. Okay. How did that come about?
So I was doing this thing called Breakfast with My Heroes. It's basically every day at breakfast, I'd separate whatever, 15, 25 minutes to have time with my heroes, which were Bob Marley, Gandhi, and others of that sort. So it'd be like YouTube interviews, audiobooks, whatever I could find. And during that time, I was doing this for years. And so during that time, I got to know my heroes pretty well. And there's this one specific moment where I'm on having breakfast with Bob Marley. There's this interviewer who approaches this plane in Ibiza. I'm pretty sure it was Ibiza. Spanish TV news. Guy shows up and he says, "Oh, Bob Marley, welcome to the island of Ibiza. What do you have to say to the people today?" And Bob just goes, "Ja Rastafari," and then walks away. And this whole video is about 40 seconds. So all my preparation of this time with Breakfast with My Heroes led to this epiphany moment, this understanding that all these people I looked up to, my heroes, they all had become conversations over time. They had all leaned into and over time become the conversations that they were in love with. And for Bob, one of those conversations was Ja Rastafari. Another is love. Another is equal rights. And so what in that moment, what happened is, so here's this Spanish news person who's coming up to Bob and he's saying, "Okay, let's talk about why you're here and let's share with the people about like what it is you have to share with them, right? And let me do that in a way that's like conventional or makes sense and has a natural conversational flow." And then Bob, by responding the way he responds, he's like, boom, this is the conversation that I exist in. This is one of the like five things that I talk about. And I don't have a lot of time right now, so let's cut to the chase. And that's my interpretation of that moment. And so it's like this, here we are living our lives. And as we become more ourselves over time, we naturally fall into certain conversations. And for those of us who are willing, we eventually become those conversations and we only exist in language. Bob Marley's one of those people, and that an eternal conversation is that concept, this undying, ever-present, living, breathing, changing, evolving conversation that's unfolding as we are.
Man, that's amazing right there. Long live the legend, Bob Marley. Like so much more than just music when it came to Bob Marley. You know what I mean? There's just so much more there. But that's an amazing story, man. I love that.
Totally, yeah. Bob Marley's my number one hero. He's man, just endless inspiration.
Definitely. So talk about the Medicine Music Reggae. You came about this. How's this going? What's going on with this?
Yeah, so Medicine Music Reggae, I mean, it's like where does my music fall in the spectrum of genres? Is it reggae? Yeah, kinda, not really. Is it medicine music? Yeah, kinda, not really. So maybe it's between medicine music and reggae. And what I like to say is that it's like if you drew a triangle, Tool being one corner of that triangle that has this like progressive sort of mind-bending element. And then Trevor Hall was this kind of this medicine artist, kind of folk with a lot of spacious sound, synth type work. And then Bob Marley with the roots reggae, roots rock reggae. That my sound is somewhere inside of this triangle. and that's where I fall in it. So bringing the reggae vibes, the island feel, but with that medicine vibe, that spacious synthy sound that just fills the cup.
I love that. I love the way that you explain that just now, because so many people, like in music especially, will totally put you in a genre, you know what I mean? And sometimes it don't fit, sometimes it does. But for me, like, especially when it comes to listening, I mean, I'm just a listener. I don't make music. I wish I could. I never even had a hand in that. But I don't like to label music as genres, because I don't really believe in it like that. Music is music. You're going to feel it. You're going to hear it the way you want to hear it. And it's going to do something for you personally. So why slap a genre on it when you could just listen? You know what I mean? I've always said that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's, again, that's just been one of the hardest things for me as an artist, is to kind of narrow in on a field. And I'm doing as well as I can, and this is what it looks like: medicine music reggae.
I dig it, man. I dig it. Like I said, you just played the Barefoot and Free Festival. That was a first for you. Talk about that, going to that. Were there any nerves involved in that? I know first, you know, getting the first things out of the way, kind of, there's some nerves involved sometimes, but how did that go for you?
It's interesting you mentioned that. I experienced that for sure. And I had a different approach for this particular show, kind of in respect to that. I started with my most difficult song to play, which is called The Way. It's a reggae in three, which, as far as I know, did not exist until Dreamwork came out. And I am very open, if anyone wants to reach out and contact me and let me know about a pre-existing reggae in three, I'm still on the search. I'm open to be proven wrong. But as far as I can tell, The Way is the first reggae in three that the world has heard. So it's an unconventional song. It's a little bit hard to play. It's a little bit of a mind bender to play. And I decided that my best approach was to dive in face first and start and open with The Way. And that after that, I knew it would all be downhill from there. So that's what I did. And it went really well.
It kind of opened you up, right? Like you said, get the hardest one out of the way. And the nerves kind of, I guess, would eventually go away. It's not going to get any harder, right? So why not start at the hardest part? Like, that makes sense. I like the strategy. How was it for you playing in front of a live crowd? Was there anything, did you feel a connection? Because I know a lot of artists, like I said, I listen to a lot of people, and a lot of people say there's such a connection when you're performing for people rather than over a speaker. You know what I mean? Like, when you're recording, it's one thing, but when you're performing for people in front of you, there's such a connection there.
You know, it was incredible, because not only was it a connection with the people, I was the last performer on Sunday before the closing ceremony.
Okay.
So I was closing out the main stage, and that was an honor, first of all. And so it was like this feeling of this cumulative energy from being there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, end of the day, Sunday. The only thing left is the closing ceremony after this. And so that cumulative constructed energy plus the vibration of the people that are still there. And then plus the weather was crazy because it had been raining on and off, but kind of sprinkling. And then, and so there were people were reacting accordingly. And then about halfway through my set, it went from like a drizzle to a downpour. Oh. And the energetic result of that was incredible. Now, I'm glad that didn't happen before my set started, because that could have been a bit of like a psychological block for me. But man, once I was on the stage and it was downpouring, it was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah. So, and you know, and that's crazy, because a lot of people would be deterred from that. Like, rain at a concert is not like something people really want, and sometimes it makes more of a moment, like you just mentioned.
That was a hell of a moment. There was like this, one of my friends who was there took a short little video that I posted on Instagram of a, like this moment where there's this fog passing by me, and it's just, I'm singing this one word with my hand up, and it's only like a 6 second video, but I was like, wow, that looks like an epic moment. And it was.
That's amazing, dude. That is awesome. So we've talked Eternal Conversation. We're talking, you know, the medicine music reggae. What else do you got going on around the music area, around the local area? I know you've toured Jamaica, Mexico, Brazil. You've been all over the place. What brings you back to Michigan, and what do you got coming up?
So one of the biggest things I got going on is this show called Mystical Medicine Music. It's like a cross between sound healing and live performance. So basically, I perform my music, sing and play, while sound healers play their singing bowls in coordination with my music, but also provide a five sensory experience, or the other senses in the experience. So they do hands-on massage. Participants are for the most part laying down, and they do the hands-on massage. I put a light show on the ceiling, and they also have the essential oils and the incense. And then there's a chocolate and breathing ceremony to kind of open up the senses before we get going, resulting in a sensory immersion experience that has this like deep, impactful sound healing that opens up people's listening to the lyrical content of Eternal Conversation, which is a lot of the point. And so that show, Mystical Medicine Music, I've gotten incredible feedback for. And, you know, Michigan has been so receptive. I'm so impressed, just to be perfectly frank. I mean, I've had the opportunity and the blessing to play and tour in other areas. And it's like the more time I spend in Michigan, the more I realize that there are so many people that are into this stuff and are in this moment of expansion and looking for a deeper healing and other resources. And that, like I said, the longer I play here, the more I'm like, wow, these people are here and they are ready. So that has been a focus, and that show moving forward, it's powerful, and it's definitely one thing that I want to keep doing and leaning into. It is an intimate experience, so I can't do it at a festival, at least right. Not on the main stage. I could do it because it's really, I try to do like 8 people per sound healer so that everybody gets some time with the hands-on and the full right. experience, which means like 8, 16, 24, 32 people, but much above that, and it loses that intimate feel. So it's a very different kind of show, and one that I'm very, very excited about and has been going incredibly well.
And how often do you do that?
Right now I'm doing that show about twice a month. And I also do it for private events that are not on my tour schedule.
Awesome. And then, like we said, people can get involved in that. If that's something you want to do, contact Landon. You can get involved. It sounds very peaceful, if you ask me.
It's incredible, and it's deep. I mean, it is the best environment that I could think of for my music. It's a perfect pairing, and it's also just straight awesome.
Awesome, I love it, man. Landon, like I said, man, it's been a blessing to have you on the show. I'm so happy we got the cross paths. In the future, we'll work together again, man. Tell them where you find all your music, how they can get a hold of you on social media.
Absolutely, yeah. So Eternal Conversation, that's the name of the music, and that's where you can find it everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, it's all there. Eternal Conversation. The album Dreamwork came out on June 3rd of this year. And I got to say, for the first time in my life, it's like, boom, that is it. That is the music that's been inside of me since I was little, and I can finally hear it from outside of my head.
I love it, man. I love it. Like I said, it's been a blessing, man. Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate your time, man. This is the J-Bone Show. This is where music lives. Landon, once again, it's been a pleasure, dude.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
We got some more music coming at you right now. This is the J-Bone Show. Let's go. Thank you.
everything fades away. Que todo desvanece. There are no problems. No.
Yo, you just listened to the J-Bone Show, man. If you like what you heard, go back, check out Spotify for more exclusive episodes of the J-Bone Show, only available on Spotify.